prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throne we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and praise him, Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and praise him, Lord of all.
Number 426. 426, and for those who can, let's stand. We'll be led in prayer after this song by Brother Travis. Praise him,
praise him,
Jesus our blessed Redeemer.
Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim.
Hail him, highest are angels in glory.
Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long.
Praise him, praise him,
tell of his excellence.
Praise him,
praise him.
us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to worship you in spirit and truth. And Father, to comfort knowing that you're here with us right now and every minute of our lives. Father, we're grateful for the many blessings you give us. And Father, we're grateful for our health. There are many that we know and many in the church here that are sick and hurting. Father, we pray that you'll be with them and comfort them as only you can. Father, we continue to pray for this country. Father, we continue to pray that it'll come together. There's too much divisiveness here. Father, we pray that somehow, some way, there'll be more peace in this country. And Father, we're mindful of those that are serving this country in foreign fields and even in this country. Father, we pray that you'll be with them and keep them out of harm's way. Father, and we do fall short sometimes, and when we do, Father, we pray that you forgive us for that. And we're grateful that we can come to you and ask for forgiveness. And we're grateful that Jesus made that possible. Father, we just thank you for each and every blessing you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Be seated. In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 588. 588. 'Tis set the feast divine, the bread, the fruit of the vine, and saints commune before the shrine in the supper of the Lord. May we said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he was up, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." We have 29 present this morning. Today is February 24th, 2019, for taping purposes. If you would, let's mark our books at number 668. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why
I've committed unto him again. My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, song has become one of those quick songs in our devotional times at Sarge Lake Christian Camp, and it's become one of those songs that suddenly brings attention to everyone that this is a spiritual service in which we're doing. And it's a tough thing to get the minds of young people away from the playground and away from the basketball and away from the softball and the events going on of the swim times that day, to when they get to that afternoon service, and here's the thing. And here's the love of the Lord that is seen and understood. What a blessing it is to have that to occur. That's a song that's frequently used to help everybody's thoughts and mind. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. We can't get away from that song. It's a grand old song, to say the least, for us today. Over the last couple of weeks of time, I've mentioned to you in regard to the nature of God. And as we talk about the nature of God and God's right ways, we first began talking about the kind of things about the nature of God from the standpoint of His own presence. The fact that He is Almighty. The fact that He is privileged to be a creator. And all that goes along with that idea was presented. Then last week we took a look at the God of heaven and how He is unique in the sense that He is a person who does not need instruction. He does not need understanding. He does not need to be talked with about things that He may learn and benefit from. Rather, He is one who teaches man and shows man the right things of the Lord. And in His word, He causes people in mind to understand. As the songwriter said in this particular song that we just sang, I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. But the idea of it is, it's through words that we're taught. And when we hear words, we understand that from childhood. If there are those who discipline their children only in the sense that they never say anything bad to them. They never tell them to stop. They never tell them to not go. They tell them about Then when they step up to a street corner, it's a dangerous instruction that's been given. Because here they are at a street corner. If they do not know the difference of stop and wait and be sure that you're okay with this crossing, then it is a case that they're in danger of the cars that zip by, the cars that come by, the type of things that's going to happen there will be dangerous for their life. We understand the meaning of those things. And if nothing else along the way, we need to reach out and give them a little swat in regard to a spank. That's the idea of reinforcing that concept. You don't do what I told you not to do because it is not going to be good for the rest of your life. So it is that we instruct and we guide and we discipline that way. The God of heaven is sought to instruct us and guide us. As a result of that, telling that which is truthful and right, he's talked about the man who is the godly man of Psalm 1, and how that this man delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He wants to hear more of what God has said about how to live, how to do business, how to behave as you live, how to love and how to care for those of our family and friends. And as a result of that, the unique ways of God are seen in the words that he uses. So in those words, he creates faith within the Son of God. He creates a resistance to sin and sinful living, which of sin would be missing the mark. So we're missing the mark when we fail to tell the truth, when we fail to do those things that are truthful and right. We follow without God. We go on without God because we are not honoring his righteous way as we live from day to day. So this morning I thought I'd move on just a little bit further. I'd move on to the ideas of the uniqueness of God and his righteous ways. If you would, in your Bible right there, turn to Psalm chapter 8. And in Psalm chapter 8, there's a vivid description that is given regarding the nature of God in a most wholesome way. In Psalm 8, we see, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set forth thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, and thou hast mightiest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hath crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Who can give us the idea as we read these words but what the psalmist is there predicting the coming of the Son of God? For these words are used in the New Testament of our Bible in reference to Jesus and in reference to his righteous way of serving the cause of the Heavenly Father. And no wonder when Jesus came to the close of his earthly life in John 17:4, Jesus will say, Father, I have done what thou hast sent me to do. The idea that Jesus was here by himself, the idea that Jesus was here just to do his own will, is defeated by Jesus' own words in his ministry. In John 12:49, he says, the words I speak unto you are not my own, but my Father gave me these by commandment that I now give unto you. It is the case that God is honored, the Father is honored, Jesus being built a little lower than the angels. He was put into a body of flesh. In Hebrews chapter 10, reference is made to this, how the Father called the Son, and how they discussed this matter of the redemption of mankind, and how a body I have made for you. The Father speaking to the Son, I have made a body for you, for going to earth and for suffering. And it will be the case that I'll always be with you. I'll always care for you. I will deliver you even from the time in which they put you physically to death. I will be with you. And it is the case that the Son replied to the Father, I will go, Father, and do thy will, O God. I will go and do this. I will live in this body of flesh you have made for me. I will suffer the things of mankind that do not honor you and do not honor your righteous way. I will go into the halls of death. I will trust you to call me back from the dead. Our Lord Jesus did that. And when we talk about the nature of God, we talk about a nature by which he worked with sinful mankind to overrule sinful mankind's thoughts and ideals. When mankind thought at Pilate's hall that they would get this crucified one away from them forever and forevermore. They could have not been more wrong. For he would not stay dead. He had predicted in Matthew 12 that 3 days of Jonah would be like his 3 days, and he would come back. Even those who were going to push him to death believed what he had to say. They came to visit Pilate after his death. After his burial, they came to Pilate to visit him and talk to him about this deceiver, they said in Matthew's words. This deceiver came and said this, and 3 days I will rise from the dead. Then look how foolish their words are. Set now a watch that the last mistake not be greater than the first. They call the ministry of Jesus, healing the sick, raising the dead, doing good, teaching the truth, showing the right way of the Heavenly Father, going to heaven when this life is over. I'm going to prepare a place for you. They called all of that a mistake. It was a great mistake, they thought. The greater of which would be that if his disciples come and steal his body away and say, deceptively, he is risen from the dead, their last mistake will be greater than the first. But in their views and in their ideals, they were not explaining the truth by which God the Father always honored people in life. He honored the ways of truth and right doing. And as a result of that, Jesus came to live that way of life. He was in that tomb, but he was not in that tomb so much and so deeply that he couldn't hear the angel roll the stone away. And those keepers of the prison, the keepers of the tomb, found themselves as dead men outside. Helpless as they were, they could not do a thing when Jesus stepped forth from that tomb. Taking just enough time to take off the grave clothes that had adorned his body and folding them and laying them over to the side, so that when his disciples came up that way and rushed into the tomb, Simon Peter doing this, and John following along the way. John arrived there first, but he didn't go in. But now then, Simon Peter went in, and there saw the grave clothes lying where he had lied, where he had been laid. What do we have here? I believe we have a message to them. I didn't get up in a rush and throw the covers back and throw the clothes away and rush out of this tomb, fearful that the Romans would hear me and that they would come back awake again outside there and they would do further punishments to me. I was called back to life by the Heavenly Father. And here I am. It is said in Hebrews 1 that the Father resurrected him and gave him a name that's above every name. That his name, Jesus, Savior. No one like him. The uniqueness of the Heavenly Father was to overcome the best laid plans and schemes of mankind. Sad to say, even down the halls of time, here we are today, there are those who reject the idea of the empty tomb and reject the idea of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. But there's a tomb for Buddha. There's a tomb for others of renown in religious matters. Allah, for example. There's a tomb. They're dead. Their teachings by what they wrote and things like that, including the errors by which they wrote. When someone writes predicting the future, predicting events to take place, they must take place to be accurate and to be truthful. But they're not accurate and truthful. when there's one so smart and so aware in his words and everything that he gets beside himself and he says, Jerusalem is the place of Jesus' birth. In Alma 7, verse 10, it's Bethlehem is the place of Jesus' birth. Described by Micah in Micah 5 at verse 2, look at these descriptions. Though thou be least among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth who hath been from old, even from everlasting. The one who came out of thee, Bethlehem, is the one who came from eternity itself. The birthplace of Jesus was there, not Jerusalem, which was a capital from the get-go. It was a famous city from the beginning. Everyone thought about that land from Jerusalem's vantage point, not Bethlehem. This goes back to the very nature of God and the ways in which it's unique. He chose that which was so unique into a location that no one would think about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords coming from little Bethlehem, least among the thousands of Judah. We're talking about a right way of God and a right way now of hope and salvation. Jesus came to be our Savior. And in Luke chapter 10, in reference to this matter, at the household of Zacchaeus, Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He not only wanted to save us, but he wanted to place us in a relationship as we live on this earth that would do nothing but encourage us. If we would live in a spiritual way, it would do nothing but encourage us. The prophet had predicted the house of God, Isaiah's words. They had read Isaiah over and over again, so many times. But Isaiah predicted about Zion and how the house of God would be built and exalted above the hills, and all nations would be able to flow unto it. It is the case that they'd overcome their wickedness and overcome their vengeful ways, beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And the day of the Lord would come so that that would occur. On the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, reference is made to the Lord of heaven, saying to them, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Not a prayer said for salvation. So many are taught these days, say these words. Bring these words to bear in your mind. You're a sinful person and you'll have the gift of the Spirit of God coming upon you if you say these words in prayer. On the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, then Peter said unto them, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That gift came not as a result of one saying, I want that to happen, I don't know I'm saved, but as a result of actually being forgiven and having that privilege of a gift now given to him, that he is a son of God. In reference to this matter, our Lord has a way of which he directs our lives from an humble beginning, from a lowly status, to a high position by which we are honored by God, saying, come before me boldly with prayer, come before me boldly in your ways of life, call upon me, and thus the Lord will bless our daily walk of life. Do you follow the ideas of this nature of God? That he is unique in his power, unique in his ways. And do you say with the psalmist, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And remember that he stretched forth his fingers, the least parts of his hand. He stretched forth his fingers and made the heavens, the stars, the moon, all that therein. What a wonderful blessing. And sum up the words about his son coming, how that his son would come and show the right things of God to mankind. Jesus came to be the Savior, and he came to build his church, Matthew 16:18. And it's in this church that they're added to the in Acts 2:47. And as a result of being in his church, they learn how to worship the Lord in a proper way. They learn how to teach their fellow man the gospel of salvation, and to save them and add them also to the body of Christ in such numbers that throughout the halls of time we look back to Jerusalem and we look back to that way in which the church was built. You and I are privileged to have somebody to teach us. We opened our Bible once upon a time, went back further in regard to that matter. And we appreciate what we read there about his way of life for us. And how that our worship could be done upon the first day of the week, just as we have ministered to it today. We have sung, we have prayed, we've meditated upon his word. We've stopped for a moment to ask that we would break bread together. We would drink the fruit of the vine together. We would remember the body of blood of Jesus Christ, how that looked like. It was the end. It actually was a part of the plan. And it was nothing but the beginning of a powerful King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For if the Father gave him a name above every name, that in his name every knee should bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God. What a blessing we have to be people who follow this unique Heavenly Father and a unique plan that he made. And I trust that our friends who listen by way of internet today and throughout this rest of this time as it's available to them, as well as you, this audience today, will thank the Lord for what he has done for each one of us. That's the way to do it. As we stand together and sing this song of encouragement today, think about our relationship to the Lord and our relationship that can be if we will but follow his way. Won't you come to Jesus if you need to do that as we stand and as we sing today.
Come to Jesus.
God bless you all. We love you much.
Turn to number 276. 276, and after the song goes in, I'll give you some word of prayer. Jesus is all the world to me. I find my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. To him I go, no other one can cheer me so.
sad. He makes me glad.